From Flourish DX, this is the Psych Health and Safety Podcast. With workplace mental health becoming a safety prerogative, this is the source of information on psychological injury prevention and health promotion.
Hi, and welcome to the Psych Health and Safety Podcast. My name is Jason Van Shee, and I'm one of the hosts of the show. The aim of the podcast is to rapidly increase the knowledge and application of psychological health and safety in workplaces worldwide. To help this, we usually have regular guests from around the world who are leading the way in this important area, but today is another expert series episode. As regular listeners know, we don't usually talk about our product on the podcast, but in today's episode, we'll be talking about our new Psych Health and Safety subscription service. With me today to talk about the new offering, I have my regular co-host and Flourish DX Global Head of Psychological Health and Safety, Joel Mitchell. How today, Joel?
I'm a bit tired.
Yeah, you had a big yawn just before we started recording, which is not a good sign.
Yeah, but you're just going to have to be extra effervescent.
I usually am, but we got no guests to carry us today.
Oh, no, I'll just have to carry on.
Yeah, I reckon I can wake you up. So we had an interesting live panel earlier this week.
Yep.
And there was a phrase that I used, and this is why people have to attend live panels when we put them on and be on the live, because it has the episode has already been edited out. But
now you're going to talk about it now on this episode.
Well, I'm not. We don't want to have to edit this one out as well.
No.
But I just want to explain to listeners the value of going on the live stream.
You get to hear Jason make a fool of himself.
Yeah. And you don't hear that on the other versions of the podcast because we edit out any gaffes that I make. But
this is true.
I'm not going to share with you what I said, but I'm going to share Joelle's reaction.
No pressure.
Jason.
We'll float over that one.
Thank you.
Yes. So through the magic of podcasting, we've just inserted Joelle's reaction to my comment. So just quickly, for any of our listeners who are wondering, is it worthwhile me, interrupting dinner time at 6 p.m. or getting up early if I'm in the UK to listen to a live panel that Joelle and Jason do? It definitely is.
You never know what's going to happen.
You never know what's going to happen. So just putting it out there. But anyway, Joelle, hopefully that's woken you up a little bit now.
Yeah, and just, for the people who were tuning in, once again, I apologise for Jason. He was genuinely bewildered as to why what he said was inappropriate. So we've had to give him some counselling afterwards so that he understands.
Yeah, I'm still on the fence about whether what I said was inappropriate or not.
Don't double down.
Common phrase. Yeah. Anyway, okay. So we should probably get into it then.
Yeah. All right. So Flourish DX is a technology company, correct?
Yes.
Yes. But we also know that technology doesn't fix mental health.
Correct.
Why?
What doesn't take? So I've always said that, right? Like I've always called out mental health apps that claim to be an intervention to improve, particularly workplace mental health, right? Where we're talking about, a broad range of employees. Are we actually going to uplift all of them in terms of the mental health? I don't think they actually do the trick. If we think about typical engagement in mental health apps, it's actually really, really low. I mean, even for people who on their own back will go onto the app store and download a mental health app. Even those people who elect to do that, even pay a subscription service for those things, it's actually very hard for them to set up a habit and regularly use the apps as a self-care strategy, like mindfulness or, those sorts of types of apps.
Yeah. It's interesting you say that, actually, because Dan and I were on a call yesterday with a group who were interested in the platform. And one of the questions was, obviously, we do have a wellbeing component in our platform, and the question was around, well, is it evidence-based if, for most people when they download an app like that, they use it for maybe 7 days and then that's it. So she made the comparison to antibiotics where, the evidence says that antibiotics work but only if you take them as prescribed. So we could say that, there's evidence that mindfulness works, but if you're only going to use mindfulness for 7 days, then having a mindfulness app isn't actually going to work.
Correct, right? So if we think about workplace mental health as well, right, we know it's hard to engage people in self-care practices and, you know, mental health interventions, whatever they are.
Plus so, there's a whole ethical aspect of that.
You can't force feed them.
Well, and it's just, you know, that the whole piece around, you know, and that Tony spoke about, that if, you know, we've got a working environment that's harming people and all we're doing is giving them coping skills, that's not an ethical approach to doing business.
Exactly. And that kind of brings me to my next point. So I've always said that a good way to describe Flourish DX is a psych health and safety consultation tool,
yeah,
masquerading as a wellbeing app.
Yeah.
So we try and give users the experience like they'd expect from a, you know, high quality direct to consumer wellbeing app, like a Headspace or an Unmind or Calm or something like that. But we want to use it primarily to understand about working conditions that might support the mental health of all employees. So we know that we can't force people to change behaviours, and it's very hard. I don't care about the science of nudging and all the rest. It's very hard to change behaviour. But we can actually change working conditions that will support the mental health of employees and protect them against harm. So, you know, really that's what we're interested in using Flourish DX for. So the app is not the intervention. It is the consultation tool to help us to focus our efforts in the areas of work design and management that are going to have the biggest influence on work and mental health.
Okay. So is this why we've decided to change the way that we're doing our service offering?
Yes. Yeah. And I think, you know, it's funny how something like even pricing strategy can affect how people perceive us as a company. So I've had many people, you know, who will go, oh, yeah, we see Flourish DX coming in to the company. It could be really useful as a monitoring tool. Can use a check-in, for example, to, you know, monitor our call center operators and, you know, be able to identify hazards over time and see if our interventions are working. But first, we need to do a psychosocial risk assessment. I'm like, we actually do that. Like, yeah. We can do that. But I think when, you know, we were going out to market and we were saying, all right, to purchase Flourish DX or to work with us, you need to purchase Flourish DX on a per head, per year basis. Customers then would reflect on the value that we're providing and they would evaluate it based on how many people are logging into the app.
Yeah.
And if only, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50% of people were logging into the app, they would think, well, that was a failure because people aren't using the service that we paid for. So next time we engage, we're just going to buy less subscriptions.
Mm.
But really what we're trying to provide the value is we're going to help you to create a psychologically healthy workplace. Now, whether that's via consulting, training, strategy, or use of technology to enable consultation at scale and getting better quantitative data, yeah, it doesn't really matter what it is. It's probably a blend of all of those things. But when we went out with the pricing model of per head per year, and customers would automatically reflect on the usage of the app as being the indicator of success. But we know that there is no correlation there between app usage and better mental health outcomes.
Yep.
Yeah, at least not in our app, right, when we're not claiming it's an intervention.
No, yeah. it's a consultation tool. So if everybody uses the app or uses the platform twice a year, you've potentially still got actually excellent consultation. And the platform has actually delivered what you want it to deliver, which is getting getting input from the workforce about the hazards that they're exposed to and the impact that it's having on their well-being.
That's right. So, I mean, my philosophy has always been, hey, during that period of consultation when we're using the app to get that feedback from employees, let's give them a really good experience and show there's other resources to improve their knowledge of mental health or, you know, self-care practices or that sort of thing. So hopefully they're attracted to try out some of those other things.
Yeah, and I think the way that one of our other clients described it is, you know, we're asking for something from the employees in terms of their time and feedback, but we're giving them something sort of in return for that in the wellbeing resources and e-learning resources that are available to them.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so here's something for that. And, you know, I think that's a fair exchange. But it's a good way to communicate it as well, because we've heard of other organisations where they've said, hey, everyone, we know that you're really stressed. Here's a mindfulness app.
Mm.
And people just feel really patronised
yeah.
About that, going, well, actually, if you just improved my workload, then, you know, I wouldn't need a mindfulness app, or I might have time to use it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But so really, I guess the change in the model is we're going to be services first. What we're going to be doing now is, rather than going per head per year as a pricing model, it will be, let's look at the size of the organization. That might be up to 500 people, 500 to 1,000, 1,000 to 2,000 and up, right?
Mm.
And we'll assign consulting days based on how many we feel are required at that kind of scale in order to achieve outcomes around risk assessment and risk management.
Yeah.
So what we then do is then provide unlimited access of Flourish DX to that entire population. So then it doesn't actually matter if you get 100% utilization, or say you've got 30 to 40% engagement in your consultation, which is actually a representative sample for most sizes of populations, right? You're actually getting value, like you say, like, because you're getting the data that you need in order to inform priority areas for action and being able to monitor your hazards over time effectively.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm hoping, with this new model, we will get, companies will start to go, well, the value that Flourish DX is helping us to achieve is a psychologically healthy workplace, rather than going, we've got an app and we're just going to get people to log in, and that becomes the focus of their attention and the evaluation of, you know, whether the program has been effective or not.
Yeah, so really then what people are getting is our time, so you, me and Alicia and whoever else joins us in our psych team.
We've had about half a dozen people just in the last month reach out saying, can we come work for you? So yeah. I don't think we'll have a trouble, filling up our consultancy.
No, but we will be very strategic in terms of how we choose who we want so that we're able to expand the services that we offer and make sure that we are giving our clients the best the best brains in the business.
Yeah. And between you and Alicia, I think we've got two of the best brains in terms of, you know, understanding health and safety management systems, human factors. And then with Alicia's side, obviously, that blend of academia, external, internal consultancy, and more of a HR lens as well, rather than
and health and safety lens. Injury management experience as well.
As a clean psych, yeah.
Yeah, so we've got a good base there, but lots of room for growth in that as well.
Yeah, definitely. Yes. So again, I know we've already given a shout out to SafeWork New South Wales, who are trying to recruit people for their psychosocial team. We will also be recruiting. So do throw your hat in the ring if you think that you would like to work with Joelle and myself, despite if you're a regular listener knowing
And Alicia.
Despite if you're a regular listener knowing how weird it is to work in our office.
I don't think regular listeners do actually know how weird it is.
Well, they've got kind of like a view in, right?
Probably think that we're pretending.
I actually had someone ask me that. They're like, how did you choose the persona you put on in the podcast? I'm like, well, I took my normal one and I toned it down.
Dialed it down 80%.
So,
We don't have the mental bandwidth to put on personas for this.
Too hard. Well, what are we up to, 120, 30 episodes?
I don't know. Something like that.
Yeah, couldn't pretend that long.
No.
So, Joelle, you and Alicia came up with a list of services companies could use their consulting days on.
Yes.
Okay, and it's generous, right? Like, we're talking, I think, 30 days of consulting for a company up to 1,000 employees. So that's, you know, a fair whack. That's like a month and a half of a full-time equivalent.
Mm.
So what are some of the key things that we can help customers with from our consulting and training services?
Yeah, so I guess what Alicia and I did was we thought about the type of support that we would typically provide in terms of helping somebody deploy Flourish DX, and that includes things like front-end stakeholder engagement. It includes sort of developing actually your overall strategy. So I think one of the things to point out here is that what we really want to do is create longer-term relationships with clients. So we will actually, you know, work heavily with you in the front end if you don't already have a strategy, to really develop out what is that strategy going to look like, what are we going to do in the first 12 months, in the second and the third 12 months, and potentially even further out than that. And then look at, you know, what is that organization able to do themselves? what can we do to help them upskill their internal capability, and then what do they actually need us to provide for them. So being very strategic up front around thinking about how do they want to use those consulting days to get the best impact for their business. I guess from that strategy that then sort of leads on through other potential consulting services. So things like looking at your WHS or OHS legal obligations and sort of gap analysis there. What are your systems looking like currently, and what do we need to do to close the gaps? Again, is that something that we are going to draft for you? Do you have the capacity internally and we can provide sort of SME review of the drafting? There's a lot of flexibility in how you can do that.
Actually, I'll stop you there. Just an interesting side note around the legal obligations.
Yeah.
Dan and I had a meeting with one of our close connections, which is a multinational operating across various markets.
Mm.
And they had their legal team review the different markets around the world they were operating in and which ones from a legal obligation and risk perspective of if we don't do anything in that market, what is the risk of legal action against us. Australia came up number one. So with the new regulations that are coming in all over Australia and the various codes of practice, and I guess, you know, the state of affairs as they are, a lot of multinationals are going, well, we actually have to start in Australia if we're going to start doing this, and then we can build that up and then go across the world with this. But Australia, you know, multinationals are starting to realise, like, we need to get it right here first.
Yeah. So I guess other things we can do is things like employee representative engagement. So whether that's your health and safety representatives, your union representatives, health and safety committees, or just wellbeing committees, all of those types of employee rep groups, we can do, quite a lot of sort of consultation, training, upskilling with those groups so that they're able to support your strategy as well, which is really what they're there for a lot of the time.
Mm-hmm.
We've developed a train the trainer package for Catalyst, and that would be available to clients on this particular package as well.
One of the things with the Catalyst program and the train the trainer is we found that a lot of companies just still don't have the resources to deliver that training.
Yeah.
Whereas with this package or this subscription service, we can actually deliver that training.
Well, that's it. So you can choose either, do you want to have us do the like the train the trainer, or do you just want to send people on training, public training days kind of thing that we would offer.
Yeah, we've also had the request already whether we could take some of the existing training material and make it bespoke for particular clients, and so we can do that as well as part of the consulting days that we have available.
Yeah. So then there's, just all kinds of stuff really, like sort of document reviews, looking at hazard identification from your, the data that you're collecting, briefings to employees, briefings to executive team about sort of findings. We can do interviews. We can do sort of facilitate focus groups, help you with action planning, even help you with sort of the design of implementation for your actions. So there's really a range of things, and I'm sure that's not an exhaustive list.
Mm.
It's very much about sort of as you're going along, deciding where and when you'd like to access us as a consulting service. But the benefit is that by having it over this sort of subscription-based approach is that you don't have to do a separate scope each time you want something done. You don't have to go through a procurement process. We don't have to do invoicing, all of that stuff that typically needs to happen every time you want to engage a consultant for assistance with something. So we're cutting down a lot of the admin that typically goes along with consulting work, which is, it's beneficial for us, but it's certainly beneficial for clients, just thinking about how much work goes into that sort of procurement process every time you want to have some consulting work done. So,
And I guess the other benefit of that is just having someone that you can pick up the phone to, like a Joelle or Alicia, for example, and ask the question.
Yeah, absolutely. So we are, we're there to answer your questions. And if you want to just bounce some ideas off us or talk through a challenge or any of that sort of thing, that's something that we're quite happy to do as well.
Or just geek out on like podcast episodes, like the Carol Horn episode that Joel and I are still talking about. So
that might not be the best use of their consulting hours.
I know, but it'd be fun for us, right, to geek
sure.
out.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
It won't feel like work if we're doing that.
I think maybe it wouldn't be work if we were doing that.
Shh. Okay. So I guess what sort of problems does this new subscription model solve? And I guess you kind of alluded to one, which is that we're seeing a lot of short-termism in market. Mm. So I'm hearing a lot of board papers that are being written up and disseminated, and boards are going, oh, crap, we need to do something, operations, go sort this out. And so people are going, all right, what's step one? We need to do a risk assessment. And so they are looking to engage someone just to do a risk assessment for them. But then they're not really thinking about that in terms of, hey, you know, to do this properly, it does really need to be integrated with how we work. And this is going to take quite a bit of change management, particularly for a large organization. And really, we need to be thinking about this over, say, a three-year horizon yeah. rather yeah. than just like a six-month or 12-month horizon.
Yeah, and so I guess to link it back to the duties, you know, the regs talk about managing psych hazards in the same way that we manage physical hazards. But if you go back actually to the duties under the Act, we have duties to develop and maintain a safe system of work. And so doing one risk assessment is not a safe system of work. That's an activity that you've conducted to identify hazards and assess risks. But that's not a system of work. So we really do, again, that comes back to the front end strategy and actually thinking about what is your safe system of work going to look like for psych health and safety? How can we embed that into your existing systems of work so that it becomes part of your business as usual approach?
Yeah. So I'm particularly excited about that, right, where we get to help companies to think really strategically about what they're doing rather than just these kind of ad hoc activities that don't really form a cohesive strategy that are actually going to have the impact that they want.
Yeah.
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 So less box ticking, more let's actually do something evidence-based that's going to work.
Yes. So I think something else is just availability of people who have subject matter expertise in this field at this point in time. And that, I guess that's sort of influenced why we've gone in this direction as well, where we had probably overestimated the amount of expertise available for organisations to draw on to help them with this consulting side of the work that needs to be done. And really what we've discovered is that that expertise is in pretty short supply in Australia. And so, yeah, we've basically recognised that there's a need for us to provide that SME support at this point in time.
Yeah, and like I said, it is quite generous the amount, I believe, and probably we'll need to wind this back at some point, but for at least for now, you know, it is quite a lot of days that we're yeah. providing. The idea is that we're going to, you know, continue with Flourish DX. We've made a huge investment over the last 5 years building up the suite of tools that are available, and there's more coming, like action planning features and whatnot.
So I think that's an important point there because yeah. that actually reduces the actual consulting time that you need, because if we're using that technology to do the consultation at scale, to do the actual data analytics, that's actually a lot of time that somebody otherwise would actually spend doing that manually.
So you're
really reducing, while it's a generous amount of consulting time, it's still probably fewer consulting days than you would need to do that process without the technology.
Exactly. And that's a really important point. And that actually forms part of our business case for this yeah. model as well, and our use of our technology. I mean, if you look at what Deloitte did with their regulatory impact statement, looking at the proposed regs in Victoria around psychosocial risk, they estimated it would take 2 hours per employee per year to consult with them effectively around psychosocial risk.
Mm.
That's not doing anything. It's just the consultation phase. We believe through our tools we can do that in about half an hour, saving 1.5 hours per employee per year.
Yeah.
And so you can imagine how that scales. So if you're thinking, you know, average employee pay $50 an hour, hour and a half, that we're saving $75 per employee, that's actually, you know, just with the time saving, we're actually, you know, saving the cost of our service, like
yeah.
just in that, not in terms of any other benefits that we're providing through creating a psychologically healthy workplace.
Mm.
So But just as an indication, you know, for an organization that's got, say, 20,000 employees, we'd be giving them 0.5, so half a full-time equivalent in terms of consulting days, 120 days of consulting. Mm. And what I've worked out is that our consulting, how we're charging it out with this new subscription model, is about half of what I've seen other consultancies offer. So we're saving time, and it's like, yeah, it's seriously cost effective. Like I said to Dan, we're going to have to wind back these consulting hours at some point because I think it's a bit too generous. But get on soon, I guess is the note attached to that. So yeah, but like you said, there is this lack of subject matter expertise. We did hope that companies would have that internal expertise, or there would be enough external consultants to support it. Mm. We see the external consultants. There are a few, but they're really in high demand and they're charging a lot, you know, supply and demand.
Yep.
Internally, it's impossible to recruit anyone with experience. I keep seeing ads go up for people with 3 years experience or 5 years experience in psychosocial risk management. I probably in my own network know less than a dozen people with that level of experience. So yeah. It's like, how are you going to find, like, how are 1,000 companies going to find that those people, right? They don't exist.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm really happy that we found a way that we can support companies that need access to that subject matter expertise. The other thing, and this is actually what you're suggesting, Joelle, is that if we're thinking about a 3-year commitment with an organization, then they can actually front load their consulting days as well.
Mm.
So, you know, we know most of the work is going to be happening in that first year of the setting up phase, but then there might be, you know, less days of consulting required in year 2 and year 3, for example. So on a 3-year commitment, you know, we could provide a lot more support up front,
yeah,
and then widen that back over the year 2, year 3 on a 3-year commitment.
Yeah, so if you had a package that was 20 consulting days per year for a 3-year process, you could potentially actually use 30 or 40 of those days in your first year and then sort of, yeah, wind it back for the year 2 and 3 if that was going to fit with the strategy that you've developed.
Yeah. And I'm really pleased with that because before I didn't see us working with companies with less than, say, a couple of thousand employees. It didn't really make a lot of sense. But now we can actually – we've worked out a way to create a model that actually now works for companies that have less than 500 employees, and it's still quite cost competitive, I think.
Yeah.
So, yeah. The other thing is obviously through our platform, you know, we've invested a lot in making sure that we help companies to get good data. We're hearing a lot of companies going, hey, survey fatigue, we don't want to do any more surveys. And that's all well and good, right? You can do a qualitative risk assessment, but those can, like, not necessarily going to give you great data because, you know, we know that people are going to self-select into those focus groups and you're going to get people coming in with all sorts of different reasons and might not be truly representative of the population. We know that it's very hard to monitor when you've only got qualitative data to refer to.
Mm.
So what are you going to do next time? Like when you're trying to work out, have we actually controlled that risk or not? Are you going to run another focus group, right? And then are you going to go on gut feel to determine actually have we addressed that or not? There's no, it's a good idea to collect some quantitative data at the same time at least if you're going to be doing that qualitative work. So, you know, that's where, you know, we've, through our technology, created the biggest innovations, I think, in terms of time saving with our risk assessments, taking like more like 10 minutes more than like the common approach is more like half an hour.
Yep.
Doesn't look like your employee engagement survey. It is actually assessing psychosocial risk, not employee perception of work design.
Mm.
And, you know, then we've got monitoring tools like our wellbeing check-in that only take a minute. So you can do that on more like a monthly cadence as like a pulse in order to, you know, monitor those hazards on a more frequent basis rather than going, we haven't done a risk assessment in 12, 18 months. Let's do another one.
Yeah.
A lot can happen in 12 to 18 months, Joelle.
A lot can happen in a week, Jason.
Yeah, that's right. So, I guess there's lots of problems I feel that this new model is going to solve. And just to be clear, it's not new in terms of the services that we're offering. It's just new in terms of the subscription package that we're offering around the consulting days.
Yeah.
And I guess you're going to hear a lot more from us, Flourish DX, around, you know, leading with our services versus the technology. And if it was not clear to listeners before, the technology is there really to help us get that time efficiency and cost efficiency and scale, as well as, you know, getting better data. It's not the intervention.
No. So, yeah, getting the data, at scale, time efficient, and then giving you something that you can monitor over time.
Yeah.
And actually look at whether you've impacted what you were trying to impact or not.
Yeah, and the next step, and we'll probably do an expert series on this at some point in the next few months as well before we release that feature, is action planning. So it's one thing to understand your risks. The next thing to do is obviously to address those risks. But we really want to connect, I guess, the risks to that action planning and then being able to monitor the actions as well, because you want to monitor actions to determine, are they getting done in the way that they're supposed to? How effective are they being implemented if you actually do want to, you know, actually improve workplace mental health?
Yeah. And we've got some fairly big plans around just the, I guess, our own sort of analytics and the conclusions that we can draw from having that data all connected. So that's a longer term vision for us.
Yeah. Carol Hon's got nothing on what we're cooking up. So
I wouldn't go that far.
She's done some pretty cool stuff. But
she has.
Yeah. Hey, so one last question. How does Catalyst fit in with this then? So Catalyst, I guess, so we've talked about that and done an expert series on that. Yep. And really we see the Catalyst program as a large-scale, highly structured proof of concept for organizations that kind of have been told you need to do a proof of concept before scaling to a whole of organization. It really does work best, the Catalyst, when you've got an internal resource that can do things like train the trainer, attend the community of practice on a fortnightly basis, you know, that sort of thing. But what we're now seeing with the regs coming in Australia is that more companies are just being told, hey, you need to address this across our whole operation now. We don't need a proof of concept anymore. The legislation's in. We need to do something.
Yeah.
If you're still, I guess, if you're an internal professional and you're still having to fight for support for psych health and safety, and, you know, Catalyst might be a good way to go about that. It's low cost, high touch, highly structured program that will then help you to demonstrate and measure improvements in order to go, let's now scale up to a whole of business. If, however, you're ready to go, how do we actually deploy at scale already? Or if you're in a smaller organization, so less than 2,000 employees, then this new subscription service is going to be a better fit for you.
And now that people have heard all about this and want to know more, how can they find out more?
Well, I was hoping we'd have the new marketing site up, which would have more information about this. But in the meantime, what we'll do is we'll pop a link in the description to a website or email address yet to be determined, to find out more. But also, you know, Joelle and I are on LinkedIn and you're going to, you know, find us there all the time. So feel free to go into our DMs and Alicia as well. And then, you know, we're able to answer questions and set up a call if you'd want to talk further about this.
Yep. So check the show notes for something.
Yeah, to be determined.
And yes, otherwise just reach out on LinkedIn because that's usually the easiest way to get hold of us anyway.
Yeah, we're much quicker at pushing out content than it takes to create marketing content collateral online.
Funny that, isn't it?
It is funny that, yeah. All right, so that brings us to the end. So, listeners, we're really excited, as you can probably tell, about this new model that we're going to be bringing to market. So looking forward to having many conversations with regular listeners about how we can work with you directly. But that brings us to the end. Remember, we do video these. So even though Joel and I are just looking at each other for the majority of the time as we're having this discussion, feel free to check out the video, but you'll find heaps of other videos as well on the Flourish DX YouTube channel. And we'll also be taking some clips from this episode as well, as we always do on the Flourish DX LinkedIn page. But that's it for today's episode. We'll catch you next time with a guest.
You've been listening to the Psych Health and Safety Podcast. To stay up to date with the latest on psychological injury prevention, follow Flourish DX on LinkedIn and subscribe to the Psych Health and Safety Podcast at www.psychhealthandsafety.com.